Would you please open your Bible to 2 Peter? For several months now, we've been reading from and walking through the book of Ezekiel. Not the whole book, but chapters 33 through 39. And we've visited Isaiah a good number of times, particularly last week. We spent a lot of time in Isaiah, verses that coincide with Ezekiel's prophecies. We've looked at Joel chapter 2. We looked at a few other prophets as well. And what I would like to do this morning is take you where my mind most often goes when we talk about prophecy. Peter was an amazing brother. I appreciate his candidness. I appreciate his mistakes because it helps me to live life and face into it that, hey, I'm not on any special water walking journey either, you know. And God is yet faithful. Peter, to me, gives the summary of any prophecy teaching. I do believe this is the heart of God. The reason for prophecy is not just to tickle our imagination. It is not that. It's not to put a map in front of us to tell us exactly what God is going to do, because the Lord God, our sovereign God, our loving God, wants to walk by faith and to trust Him in route. So Peter addresses how we should deal with prophecy in our Bible. Would you please turn to chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 12. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. And I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, right here walking the planet, which is God now, you know, I consider it right to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my body, my earthly dwelling, is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, it's a cool word, it's the word exodus, after I leave here, man, I am out of here and into a place with the living God. Anyway, that at any time after my exodus, you may be able to call these things to mind. Oh yeah, Peter said this. Oh yeah, Peter addressed this. Verse 16, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales. That is the Greek word we get our word myth from. Mythos. Made up fables is how this is to be understood. We did not follow cleverly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to Him by the majestic glory, by the Father. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And Peter is pointing out something about prophecy here that we should never, ever, ever lose sight of. Remind ourselves over and over again. It's not only by Peter. It is about Jesus. It is not about me. It's not about any nation. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of the living God. That is what it is about. Hang on to that one, he says. Verse 18, and Peter says, we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. All four gospels, by the way, make reference to what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was there with Moses and Elijah and changed in front of them. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, verse 19, and so we have the prophetic word made more sure or more certain. God had talked about that, but now we've experienced part of it. It is more certain for us, in which you, the reader, the listener, 2,000 years later, that's us, in which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. Epileusis. It is not open for your pleasure. It is not open for you to say, well, I think it means this. Well, I want it to mean that. That is what the word means. It is not a loose cannon out there. It is not to be used by anybody for their own self-promotion of their ideas, of their theology, of anything. God will not allow it, and we should be mindful that it is not the purpose of God, but rather, God has declared, and whether you can figure out all the parts of the puzzle or not, is not the point. It is there, so once it happens, you can look back and see, oh, there's God. Wow, God. He's established this, and I can walk by faith, and I can say, I believe you, God. I don't understand these things. And I'll tell you what, it is not my plan to go further in Ezekiel right now. I didn't have the purpose of going through that whole book. But starting in chapter 40, for the next number of chapters, talking about that temple that has not yet existed, and seeing the dimensions of it and the purpose of it, I scratch my head. Because I'm thinking, if that's a millennial temple, why are they doing sacrifices? I don't know. There's a lot that I don't know about prophecy, but you know what? I trust God. And Peter is bringing us to that point. It's not myth, and it's not left up to loose interpretation. We have somewhat lived through. I'm not sure that we're going to ever hear from a guy named Harold Camping again. Boy, did he get some publicity, though. As he had it all spelled out, all that was going to happen, this prophecy and this equals that. And he set a date and missed for the return of Jesus. And said, oh, I didn't keep this in mind. So he set another date. Embarrassment redoubled. And there are people that staked their lives, their entire estates were sold and donated to that ministry. And they're sitting there waiting for that date. And it came and it went. Not happening. It's not happening. It is an embarrassment, I believe, to Christianity as well in America. Don't buy into that stuff. It is not left up to one's own interpretation. God has something that is in his mind absolutely determined. It's going to happen no matter what we think and believe. Verse 20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. It's a God thing. It's all about God. And Peter was reminded, I don't hesitate to remind you, he says, that after I'm dead and gone, you'll remember. And let's pass on that same challenge. Oh, but then the warning, chapter 2, verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people. There's no end to prophecy. There's no end to dictating what is true. I appreciate somebody's thinking through to the next step. One thing that I think it was Freud who said it. Any truth claim, and pretty much it was about religion, any truth claim is a power play. What's the next step? That means that statement is a power play. Huh. Let's follow it through. Okay. It's not up to human beings. It is not up to clever imaginations. No prophecy ever came by an act of the human will, but men moved by God. False prophets arose then, and they will continue arising. There's the warning. I'd like to pass that and go into chapter 3. For my purpose this morning. And verse 1. This now, beloved, is the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, covetousness, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." And Peter says, "For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire." This is all what God says. This is in his word. And Peter's saying, when they maintain their own formulas of existence and how it came about, as well as future, they are missing the point that God spoke out what is true, and he means it. Okay, these, by the way, this is a follow-up from chapter 2 of the warning about the false apostles. But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, and this is a way of saying God is outside of our timetable. Outside of time and space, our God is bigger than that. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. He doesn't have a calendar like ours telling it off. Somehow in God existence, in God world, in God thing, it's different than that. It's bigger than that. Don't try to make God fit into your little box. The Lord is not slow about his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, this is Peter, and the first time Peter used those words is in Acts chapter 2 in response to what happened at Pentecost, as he quoted Joel chapter 2. The beginning of the day of the Lord was back then. And now Peter, the same guy, is pointing to the future of the day of the Lord as well. The era started, and it's going to climax just as God said it would. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and all its works will be burned up. Now, he gathers this from Old Testament. I believe he gathered this from what Jesus taught. He is not teaching something brand new. And like we read earlier in chapter 1, it is not intended to put out there for us to say, well, what he really means is this. It is not to be allegorically taken. It's not allegorically given. It seems to be quite literal. Verse 11. Now here comes the application. Why I wanted to turn to this passage today. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way. And boy, I tell you what. Ezekiel 33 to 39 that we just went through. There's a whole lot of destruction as well as a whole lot of positive that's given in there. Since it's to be, here's the application. What sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, the elements will melt with intense heat? But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. What is the application? It's obvious, right? I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. We just read it. What is the application in Peter's mind? Prophecy, 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 prophecy. Ultimately, it is about the coming and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is talking about his future. It's also talking about destruction that's going to happen as well. What's the application for you and me? Not just to sit back and wait and not try to figure out all the puzzle pieces and be the first one that's right and write the first book that'll be the bestseller and God will agree with you. It is not for that. It is what sort of man, general speaking, ought you to be with this in mind? Like if you take this as God truth, if you realize that God has purpose in it for you today, it's not to go and try to figure out who's going to be the Antichrist in this world. It's not for you to go and figure out where our president fits into the big picture. Where's Russia fit in? It is for you to be a man of God, a woman of God today. It is. What sort of people ought you to be? And I'll tell you what, if our study of prophecy is anything less than that, we have missed it, I believe. We have missed it. It becomes pointless. It becomes something that tickles our ears and tickles our intellect and really boosts our ego. And we ultimately end up at a place no less embarrassing than Harold Camping. And I'm thinking many others. One of the downsides of trying to fit all the pieces together is that people believe it. And then when it doesn't happen, what happens here in their mind and heart? Blame God. Throw it all away. And I had a friend say to me once that he was out of church from late 70s until the early 90s. Because he concluded when Jesus didn't come back again when they're supposed to, they lied to me. Okay. Let's follow the Lord's word and realize we don't know the day and the hour, but he's coming. Realize there's a whole lot of other things we don't know, we can't get figured out. And there's going to be opinions, and they're not going to all line up. And you know what? It may be okay. When we talk about prophecy, can we put the disclaimer in there? Well, the way I see it at this point, it looks like this. But God only knows. Can we say that? You know, can we say that God hasn't given me a call to ask my opinion of what he should do? He also has not sent me any kind of dodogram that I have the inside information here above anybody else. It is, you're all walking on this planet. Here's what's going to happen. Therefore, what kind of a person ought you to be? The application is in holiness of life, and that is right here. We'll go a little bit further. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, it's all ahead of us. It's a faith thing. It's also hope. Slightly different than faith, but ultimately it's extended out there in the future. God is going to act. But what's really cool, and that's what Peter's getting about, is God is acting now. And he's acting in individual lives and individual people. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. By application, I have to stop right there and say, oh man, I got some work to do. This isn't for me to look around and point out your flaws. This is intended for me to take a real person, say, you know what, I haven't quite arrived here yet. I'm still dealing with my own attitude. I have to live with me and I know me. My choices, my mouth, but praise God for his mercy. It's a new day. I got forgiveness. I have the love of the living God and he's with me. Today can be a new day in this area of peace, spotless and blameless. And regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. And I've got a number of scriptures of his that says this same thing in different words. But what Peter says about that, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, of which I've got some key scriptures by Paul out of Romans and 2 Corinthians. And Peter says, in which some of these things are hard to understand. And that's an interesting word there. It's not the word gnosis. It's a word that means perceive. But the word transliterated, D-U-S, put on the front of it, means to misperceive, to misconstrue, to take the pieces, to take the numbers 1 plus 1 and come up with an answer of 5. That's what the word means. And so he gives a bit of an insight here, which is still on 2,000 years later, in which some things are misperceived, misunderstood, which the untaught and unstable distort. It's like they purposely take it and use it for their own advantage. They put the spin on it. They distort it for their own agenda, as they do also with the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You know, years ago, as I started in ministry here in Tacoma, hearing some of the things that people conclude from their Bible. You look at that Bible and you wonder, how did you get there from here? Just a quick one off the top of my head. I haven't written them down, but there's been some doozies. When somebody read from Genesis chapter 3, that after the whole incident with Eve and then Adam, and then they tried to dress themselves in some kind of leaves, and that God covered them with skins. The first reference to an animal sacrifice, the bloodshed for the payment of sin, right? Well, they took that and see, well, see, before, Adam and Eve didn't have any skin. Wait a minute. Okay, it gets distorted. It gets just weirded out. And today, I'm thinking, with our internet access that has so many people and so much information, and we don't have time to assimilate it properly by doing our homework and see if there's any credentials to it. Accept it, accept it, accept it. And when the internet first started coming around here in Tacoma, I watched some people just totally drop by the wayside because of stuff they're reading there and believing there. And they are absolutely sidelined today. One of them, in fact, has completely renounced the Lord Jesus. Wow. You know, we've got to be careful. And what God brings us to is focus right here on Him and the established word that He's given to us, so it does not get distorted. Back in that time period, I went on the internet this morning just to check this out. Back in that time period when the internet access was first starting, you know, a few people in my life had it. One guy said he went online to look for bullets to buy. And he typed in the word ammunition, and he was shaking his head as he was telling me about it. He was overwhelmed because 8,000 sites came up. 8,000. Okay, this is a long time ago. I looked it up this morning. 59,900,000 sites for ammunition today. Okay. There is so much there, is the point. So very much out there. Also about God, about truth, about prophecy, about all of the religious junk mail out there. Thankfully, there's some truth there too. Thankfully, there's some God-minded, Lord Jesus of Nazareth-minded people that are there too. Thank you, Lord, that there's something out there that's worthwhile. We've got to be so careful today, more so than even in Peter's life, where he says the unstable and the untaught distort as they do with the rest of scriptures. And that is what is done with God truth and God prophecy. And it's not going to end until the Lord shows up here and it's done. But the question is, what are we going to do? Are you ready to commit yourself to living that life that is at peace, spotless, and blameless, and not get into any of that distortion mess? There's the application for me. A little bit further. I'm going to read 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men. They do not care. You fall from your own steadfastness. And that's the word pipto that I like to teach on out of Hebrews chapter 6, which means to trip and fall down. Pipto. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's the focus again. And Peter turns in worship. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. This is true. And I think what Peter is saying is one of the things he's saying is it's about Jesus. It's about the living God. It's not about Peter. It's not about Paul. It's not about anything, anybody else. Let's treat the prophecy accordingly. What we don't understand and know, it's okay. That gray matter that holds your ears apart isn't enough to contain all that God is and does and knows. It's okay to not understand all of it. Keep pursuing? Sure. Keep learning? Absolutely. But keep applying. What manner of man ought you to be today? Okay, that's my little sermon. We've got about 6 minutes. Questions, comments, interaction you might have. Bruce, go ahead.
Just real quick, I'd like to read here. It basically says the same thing. You said that in Hebrews 13.
Yes.
It says in verse 8 and 9, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then it goes on to say, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. And then it says, not with food, which is always confusing me because I'm always thinking food. They're not talking about food, they're talking about the doctrines again.
Yes.
And it says, not with the foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And that's what you're just talking about. The same thing that they're saying.
I think in that context, to the Hebrew people, it would also be talking about the dietary laws that they figured were part of righteousness, gaining approval to God. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But it also can be going on towards any doctrine.
All the other stuff. Right. Dave?
If you read that, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Element of fearfulness is injected into that. Not intentionally, but I think we can read it and be fearful of what's going to happen. We can carry away by all this. But we need to remember that Christ loses no one. No one is able to pluck us from God's hand.
John chapter 10.
We are stable. We are forever with the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth or in eternity. And we need to take comfort with that and recognize that as he's given us the warning. Here's the warning. But Christ.
Yes. Absolutely. And I really like to point that out in teaching on that word pipto. It's an interesting word. It does not mean apostate. It's tripping while en route. Good point. Somebody, I saw another hand flashing too.
I saw some Chinese special about they have a 3 to 6 month camp for their children, their teens, to go to learn to get off the internet, computer, for all the games and stuff. And actually, it puts them back in reality. It takes them from becoming a robot or a computer nut back to being a human. And I was looking at all the kids and people over here, even some adults walking and doing this and talking and all that kind of stuff. I was looking, wow, our people are the same as the Chinese. They live on the telephone and the internet. And, I mean, middle-aged people with kids and this and that. I've seen women taking their kids or men taking their kids. Can't get off of this even with their kids in the car and doing whatever, wherever they're at, out on the beach or mountain, or trying to relax, and someone's got the stupid internet and phone. And and how TV has distorted everything too, and showed us that it's okay to be homos and lesbians and jump on animals and do all the things it says back in Genesis, you know, how God destroyed the earth because we became animalistic and everything else. And I see how the computer is doing what the TV is doing, but it's doing it much faster. It's teaching everybody to do whatever and this and that. It's okay. And again, it's actually turning them not into, I mean, they're not human anymore. It's really sad.
You know, Fir Point Bible Camp requires, it used to be, remember the sign, check in your guns at the door? At Fir Point, they do not allow phones. What camp is going on?
But like you said earlier in this thing, if you read the Bible, keep reading the Bible, read the Bible every day, and pray and have God open up your mind, give me wisdom, understanding, and all the nuts. Because my first father-in-law was a preacher, and he was a big nut. He knew the Word of God better than anybody. He went to theological school, almost a doctorate degree, and he won't listen to hardly anybody, not unless you're very well educated, and not unless you wear your suit and tie. And then that's where I trusted. I can't trust even people behind the pulpit, especially the Catholic priests, what they do, the kids.
Yeah.
I just, when you were reading the scripture, it just reminded me of the Mormon doctrine. It is so subtle. And with our family, we had no real knowledge of what Christianity really was. So when they presented it as Christian, we just assumed it was a Christian religion. And the whole doctrine is based on a man that he interpreted, and then everyone's supposed to just believe that, but they don't really teach that until you get into the hierarchy. Before that, they just teach the good stuff about it, so it was real easy to fall into it. But it was all man-based and not God-based, and they took a few scriptures and twist them, and those are the ones they go to, and the others are like, you know, they don't really go to them. So it was a real subtle thing, but it was doctrines of men, and that's all it was. And it's very sad.
God is more interested in truth than we could ever be. I really believe that, since He is truth. And this morning, Stefan had an experience with a lady raised in Catholicism. He didn't go through a whole bunch of stuff against Catholicism. He simply said to her, tell me if I'm quoting you right, or you can say it. Go ahead.
Well, I told her that I know there are millions of Catholics, Roman Catholics, who really love God from their hearts, and God knows their heart. But the Word of God, you know, says that there's one God, one being, Christ Jesus, not the Pope, not any priest. Priests,
not Mary.
Yeah, priests and popes cannot forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. And we had a little
and
short discussion, and
she seemed to hear him, right?
Definitely heard, and Michael did too. And they both enjoyed it. That's the first time that ever happened to me. It's about a
point. And my point in directing attention there is one at a time, you know. God is interested in truth, and He's rescuing people like that, that were caught up, whether in Mormonism or some form of weirdness and legalism, whatever. You know, it's like God speaks into the heart. Oh man, okay, we got to stop, because I'm ready to go. I'm ready to roll further. Father, thank you that you are a lover of truth, and we too want to be that, Lord. And where we are not settled into truth and believing something, God, rid it from us. Spare us the heartache and the time waste there. We want a focus to be where you want our focus to be. Father, help us in that. I thank you for what is clear in prophecy, that it is about Jesus, who is coming back, who is going to set things right. who is going to set up righteousness, which his children get to live in. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for putting up with me and my weird beliefs when I first came to you. And Lord, I don't want that weirdness to continue. So show me also the next step, the next layer in moving closer to the heart of God, closer to the purity of truth. We want to be worshipers, Lord, that truly are spirit-led and worship in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can go through these teaching passages and warning passages. And Lord, we can look a little bit into the future. We can look around us and wonder if it's being applied right now. But ultimately, you're the one who knows. We want to bow and be settled in that. Just be at peace in our heart about that. Show us our part that we're going to play, but especially how that today we can become more of a holy man or woman that belongs to you. Be glorified in us, through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.